Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Hey, hey. All right, everybody. Good to have you along for the ride today. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off today. Just me and Zach Jones. We've got a nice lineup of guests starting at 4 o'clock. Chris Trapasso, one of our favorites from CBS Sports, will be along then at 4. At 5, we'll get Sal Capaccio's rundown on all the news from practice today. Sean McDermott spoke. There's a long injury list. We'll see if it's, you know, arrow pointing up or sideways or down as far as all the injuries on the Bills go. And Paul Hamilton will be along near the end at 6 to talk about the Sabres. Last night, one more preseason game for them Friday in Pittsburgh, and then the regular season begins a week from tomorrow against the Ottawa Senators. We'll get to football and the Bills, and I've got, I hope anyway, what I think are a couple of interesting talking points around them, and we'll get to it. I wanna say something here at the top about Aaron Judge and about the pursuit for an American League home run record and the coverage and some of the criticism of it. I want to wedge this in now because it's one of these things that is sort of on my mind, been in my notes, and it just has not come up. And I have a feeling if the runaway freight train that is my brain starts going on this show talking about the Bills and receiver depth and the running game and it, just everything else, we're going to get to the end and I'll be like, I still didn't say the thing about I wanted to say about Judge and the coverage of his pursuit of breaking the American League home run record. So I'll do that here. Just a couple of observations. It has struck me, there's been, I think, a fair amount of criticism, and I don't want to say that it skews younger, but I think it would make sense if it does. Trista Crick was another example yesterday in her weekly visit with us at 3:30, and she brought up the ESPN's constant drop-ins of Aaron Judge during college football games and other football games, and like, why are you doing this to me? I don't really need this. I don't want this. It's not even a real record, and so why are you bothering, right? And Here's what I want to say about that. Like baseball, you can't unring bells that you've been ringing diligently for the better part of 20 years. I don't think baseball fans or sports fans who may just sort of casually pay attention to baseball, really even care that much about the American League versus the National League anymore. And that's baseball's fault. I think they wanted it that way. They've basically diluted everything. They've diluted the playoffs. I don't think I was even sure until today exactly what the playoff format was. They got best of threes now in the wild card round, and there's four series that are beginning this weekend, and so your division winners get to sit on the side for a little while, and then we get these series, and then the divisional round will begin, and eventually you'll get to the championship series and eventually the World Series, and there's just so many tiers there. Interleague play has continued, and it's no longer, to me, special or celebrated or noteworthy. It's only something that I think when you see the schedule, if there's a team you follow, like I still follow the Red Sox every day. I know they're at the top of my ESPN app, so I know who they're playing and when. And so if I get a notification about their game and I go, oh, they're playing the Phillies. Oh, interleague play. The way they first started doing it, there were like these pockets in the season where like everyone would try to do it, and now it's just way more random. And yeah, there is still the All-Star game where the NL plays the AL, and of course the World Series is pitting, you know, the playoff brackets are separated by AL and NL. But man, I feel like it's never mattered less. To differentiate between the AL and the NL. And therein lies some of, or maybe the major part of the problem many people have had with the coverage. It feels to me like big media, ESPN, partnering, of course, with baseball. I mean, they're a broadcast partner, have been trying to sort of prop this up as more significant than it is. And it gives people who don't respect Bonds or Sosa and McGuire, because of how tainted all that is, the opportunity to like, oh, this is the real record. See, this is that we're forgetting all about, you know, the late 90s and the early 2000s. And we're forgetting about Bonds and McGuire and Sosa. Like, kind of sort of erase that. Here's the new pure home run king. Oh, I mean, okay. Nice try. You don't get to let steroids ruin your game by choice and then pretend that it didn't happen by propping up someone who's way behind the all-time home run single season totals and celebrate it as though it is somehow more significant or as significant as those records that fell in 1998 and then later on into the 2000s with Bonds. You just don't get to do that. I think we're more savvy than that. I grew up when the American League v. the National League meant a lot more than it does. Everything has been cheapened. Everything has been diluted. And, like, I'm not down on Judge and the accomplishment. I myself didn't get, you know, annoyed by the drop-ins. I never did see one during college football, but I saw my share of them. And, you know, fine. This is American League history, but it strikes me that I think probably the vast majority of sports fans who are under 30, and particularly baseball fans, if there are any that are under 30, don't really recognize the separation of the AL and the NL the way that we did when, you know, you had to win your division to make the playoffs and play one round and then you're in the World Series. Just a very different time. And I think the whole thing has just been a dog and pony show to attempt to just raise the relevance of baseball, which is, I think, pretty consistently in danger of being somewhat forgotten about. It's far gone from being America's pastime. I'm talking as someone who has loved, and I mean, all caps, loved all of the things that are attached to the notion of baseball being America's pastime. I mean, I'm a sucker for all that stuff. All right. Play the minor key piano music and give me James Earl Jones narrating something and I start to tear up. Okay. Like, I'm a sap for that stuff. But all of this has just been too much. It's just been too much. And whatever criticism they've gotten, to me, they deserve, because I think they're just trying to wash away the accomplishments that, you know, look, I don't respect Bonds and Norm McGuire and Sosa. Like, what they did is tainted, but it was allowed at the time. Those records are there. They stand. So just because I don't respect how they did it, and maybe a lot of fans feel the same way, I don't think, you know, you get to stand up and say, yeah, no, there's my new home run king, the guy with 62 now. That's it. I've decided. That's my record book. I mean, we all don't get to have our own record books. So, I know, what's the point? The point is, baseball, along with ESPN, I think tried to take us all for a ride. Here, feel good about this. You'll enjoy this. This is wholesome. This guy isn't cheating. So you should respect it and enjoy it. And, oh, look, baseball. Oh, the history and the pageantry. And, oh, the crisp blue sky and a nice fall day for the day game of the World Series. I mean, it's all just such a load of crap the way baseball operates now that I just don't have time for it. And I just sort of feel like the whole thing has been it's been a television production, which, you know, I know it's sports, right? It's entertainment. It's big dollars. And I'm sure plenty of people enjoyed riding along, especially if you're a Yankee fan or an Aaron Judge fan, which I'm really neither, although Judge is a ton of fun to watch play. It just didn't really work. It ends up to me falling really flat. So, you know, all the drama about what's going to happen to the ball and the bat and the jersey and all the stuff, like, fine, whatever. Hopefully some people who need the money get some money for some stuff if they choose. I'm relieved it's over, and I think the whole thing has just kind of been sham is the word that keeps coming to my mind. I wish I had a better word, but it just, the whole thing just feels like it was play acting. And who appreciates that? No, I think no one appreciates that. That's how I feel about all that. Again, no disrespect to Judge. Congratulations on the 62 home runs and setting an American League record. I just don't feel like, you know, AL, NL matters as much, and therefore it's not as significant. And the whole thing looks like an attempt to get us to forget what baseball did to itself and its competitors were allowed to do to the sport and to the record book in the late 90s and into the 2000s with McGuire, Sosa, and Bonds. So, you know, golf clap for you, baseball. Good job. But some of us, I think, are onto it. And, enjoy your time. Now you go back to the back seat and, you know, enjoy ranking wherever you're going to rank in television ratings for this trumped up garbage round of playoffs, and good luck beating college football and NFL football in the ratings as you go. All right, that's that. Just wanted to get that. If you got a comment on that, you want to hit me on Twitter about it or even call, I mean, that's fine. I'm sure we can find a way to squeeze it in. On to the Bills. We talked a lot yesterday, I think it was in the 5 o'clock hour, about the passing game and the depth at wide receiver, and the word fragile was used, I think, about, you know, the depth and the amount of faith you might have in the Bills being able to sort of keep the machine humming along. And we also talked some about the style of their offense so far this year and how noticeable it is that the running backs are more involved in the passing game than they've ever been since Josh Allen got here. And the air yards are down pretty significantly from the previous seasons of Josh Allen's career. And that it looks like they are, you know, trying to sort of, well, get good at something they haven't really been good at. And in the process, you know, some of the stats are, you know, taking a hit. You know, not anything to me alarming necessarily, but, you know, it's there. And so, you know, I wonder just how concerned people are about that specifically. I've got some thoughts on that. And just sort of in general, I'm curious if, you know, not limiting the conversation to just the receiver depth and the passing game, like what is, like, four games in, a quarter? I did it. I all day I told myself I wasn't going to refer to it as the Bills, the season being a quarter over, because we can't do that anymore. There's 17 games now, and four doesn't go into 17 evenly. Anyway, we're four games in. There, let's just leave it at that. Four games in. It's not a quarter of the season anymore. It's almost a quarter of the season. Four games in. Like, what is worrying you, right? You get the Bills talking today, Sean McDermott talking again today, and I think it's a pretty familiar refrain by now. The run game. Not satisfied with the run game. Not satisfied with Josh Allen having to carry so much of the load and being the leading rusher, and they want to be better at it. And it's a very typical, if I sound fatigued making this point, saying this part, it's because the familiarity of McDermott talking like that, it should be pretty familiar to most Bills fans who are paying attention. They haven't really been good at running the ball for, well, since they got good at the overall, since their offense became like this just high-scoring, high-flying affair, they have not been good at running the ball because they're so good at passing it that they pass it more than they run it by a lot. And that's kind of what you should do. And so as I hear another round of wondering about the running game and do we need, yesterday I'm stumping for James Cook and what do we do? Mike wants Duke Johnson maybe to play. What's going to spring this thing, this running game? And here's what I've arrived at. And I sort of scratched at this one day last week we were talking about it. And I think Mike maybe even asked me directly, like, you know, how worried about the running game are you, or do you think anyone should be? And, you know, my response then was something along the lines of, the only reason I would ever worry about it, because I'm not worried about whether they can run it real well, because I think they, you know, they've shown here over the course of 2+ seasons that they can be one of the most explosive offenses in the league while not being a very good running team. So why worry about it? The worry I would have is if they are so worried about it that they waste time trying to get it going in games. I'm not saying they shouldn't be practicing and trying to figure out better blocking schemes for the week-to-week opponents and the matchups and all that. Fine, do your work. But I do not want to ever see the Bills and Ken Dorsey, a first-year offensive coordinator, emphasize the run to the detriment of the passing game. And I don't know that we've ever seen it. In the 2 years plus now, 2 years plus four games, I just don't know when. I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure people who pay more attention to this sort of thing have had their moments where it's like, why'd you call that play? Why'd you call this play? Everyone knows you're going to run it. Everyone knows you're going to throw. Like that sort of stuff, that sort of knee-jerk overreaction that play calling often gets criticized for. But I think in a macro view, I have not really seen, for all the conversation about wanting to get better at it and be more efficient when doing it, I haven't seen any real sign, no real proof that the Bills in games are going to make more of an effort than they have to run it, like to make a point. Like, we're just going to do this. We have to get good at it. I think a lot of what they say about it, McDermott especially, is just what needs to be said about it. In other words, Mike likes to play the opposite game sometime, and this is not exactly the opposite game. The opposite game, if you don't know, is, okay, take what someone in pro sports or politics, but for the sake of our conversation, let's leave it in the sports lane. When someone, a coach, a player, general manager, gives you an answer to a question, imagine if they told you, if they said the opposite were true. When talking about their opponent, talking about their own team, their personnel, how guys are being used, you know, what problems are you facing? Like, there's generally very muted, if any, criticism. And it's mostly just, you know, we're going to keep working and we got to get better at it. We want to be better at it. We know it's important. I think a lot of what McDermott says about the run game at this point is just lip service. I think it's just to avoid standing at the podium and flat out telling teams, well, Josh Allen's our quarterback and we don't really care about running the ball. I mean, we don't want him to get hit a lot. We'd like to have him run less. I believe that. But until they have a better idea, I think they're going to keep doing what they've been doing. And imagine if McDermott did stand at a podium. Is he standing at these things? I don't even know anymore. Whatever. He's at the microphone and getting asked questions, and the subject of the run game comes up, and it's quote-unquote struggles, and McDermott says, you know, I'm not really worried about it. Have you seen our games going back to 2020 when Josh Allen became like an MVP candidate? Have you seen the games? Like, we're okay on offense. We're better than okay. We're great on offense, and we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. I mean, no, our brains would melt. Like, you're telling teams you're just not going to run anymore? Like, he would never tell people that. And they would also never not run ever. But, you know, this team goes pockets of games. There was a 21-play stretch. Was it against Tennessee, I think? Where no run plays, just pass plays. We've seen them open games with 15, 17, 18 pass plays in a row. They know what works for them on offense. And so if you hear McDermott talking about the running game and, well, if you agree with him that it needs to be better or you'd like it to be better, I understand that. I'd also like it to be better. I'd like them to be great at everything they do. You know, if they could run it like they throw it, I mean, holy cow, you know, good luck ever stopping them. But, you know, that's probably hard to pull off. So they know what they do well, and I think their actions, the way they call games, the way they handle offense, since Josh Allen ascended, I think tells you not to worry about them forcing the run game in. Again, if you want them to be better at it, like, fine, raise your hand. So do I. I'd like them to be better at it, too. I don't know that it's realistic to be great at everything, but if when you hear McDermott, you worry that he's talking about the running game struggling and that's going to lead to something substantive changing about the Bills' offense, i.e. they're going to call more run plays, they're going to try to ask Josh to do less for them in the passing game and in the running game, I would say don't worry about it. Because I think some of you do. I mean, my usual partner here who's got the day off, Mike, is one who I think over the years, like, you hear the coaches talking and like, oh no, are they gonna try to emphasize the run game? Because they're better at passing it. That's the way to go. So be good at that and don't sweat how ineffective your running game is. If you think hearing him talk about worrying about it, if that concerns you, I'm here to tell you not to sweat it. Look at their actions, not what he says when having news conferences. Because to me, there's no sign of them being as worried as they might sound, or as McDermott might sound about the run game. It's just simply, I got to give you an answer here, and what I don't want to tell you is we're just going to throw it all over you. I mean, I think teams know that anyways. It's not like teams are, like, loading up to stop the Bills' run game because they want the Bills to pass. I think teams would probably love it. All caps, love it if the Bills tried to run the ball more. It's a reason why I think the sort of fan that I'm speaking to when I say don't worry about how McDermott sounds about it, judge what they're going to do about it by their actions. When I'm talking to that fan, I'm telling you don't have to sweat it. I just don't see any evidence that you have to sweat it. You'd be doing teams a favor by taking the ball out of Josh Allen's hands, and I don't think the Bills are incompetent enough to do that. In any large-scale way, like, you know, alert me the first time the Bills are anywhere near a 50-50 split in pass to run. In a game that isn't completely lopsided. Yeah, one way or the other. Mostly if you're way ahead, you might expect more running. I bet the Bills ran the ball the most they have all year in the opener, in the second game of the year, because they were ahead by, 41-7 with 20 minutes of game clock still to play. So probably a lot of run there. But in general, I don't think it's something I'm prepared to worry about. Thoughts? 803-0550 is the number. Don't have to limit it to talking about just this point, but it was just, to me, a good walking off point because, you know, again, I heard McDermott speaking today and talking about the run game, and that's my spiel on that. again, your reaction to that is certainly welcome. We've got phone lines open at 803-0550, and they'll remain that way until the top of the hour. That's when Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports will join me. Sal Capaccio's at 5, Paul Hamilton at 6. In between, lots of time for us. Mike Schoep's got the day off today, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.